Get started. Again, thank you very much all for joining us today. This is the first webinar in relation to the European Road Freight Rate Benchmarking Report. This one relates to Q3 2019 and our new white paper, which was published today. So we're all very glad to have you with us. A little bit of housekeeping. The whole session will last for approximately 20 minutes or so, where we'll run through various different European trends and show you some key data on the market. So without further ado, we'll get on to introductions for our panelists today. My name is Michael Clover. I'm the Head of Commercial Development at Transport Intelligence, and Transport Intelligence being the world leading provider of market intelligence for the logistics and supply chain industry. And I'm joined by my colleague, Nick Bailey, our Head of Research. Nick's spent a few years working for TI now, about six in total, but before that he worked in international development and has had some other experience looking after various different market research in different industries. He's responsible for all of the research that we undertake here at TI, all of our reports and databases, so we'll be able to offer some good insights this afternoon. We're also joined by Thomas Leroux from Apply. Thomas is the Chief Data and Research Officer at Apply, and he's actually one of the founding members or starters of Apply as an organization. Really set out with a vision to provide more transparency on freight rates in the marketplace today. And we're also joined by William Bigudi, who is one of Apply's road transport experts, and he's going to be offering some of his insights on specific lanes that we've highlighted in the white paper for Q3. Now, Tamar, I don't know if you'd like to give a word of introduction about Apply, a bit of an outline about what Apply does.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. So basically at Apply, we are challenging, I mean, we are working on some challenges of the supply chain of today. And when I talk about challenges, I'm talking about price volatility, information opacity, a lot of overbooking, last minute cancellation, some mismatch between the offer and the demand. And this is true for the road transportation in Europe, in the US, for air freight, sea freights, for basically all the industry. And at Apply, we decided to work on that by resetting some of the fundamentals of the industry, and using logistic expertise. So we have a lot of experts at Apply that are from the industry, and William is one of them, and mixing them with data science with some IT tools that are pretty powerful. And the idea is to bring two main products on the market. One that is targeting who is giving information to the market, benchmarking information of the future trends on the market on many different lanes. And the other one is building a marketplace where the offer and the demand can match and can work together in a simple and fluid way.
Thanks. Thank you very much, Thomas, for that. Okay, well, let's dive into some of the data then from the white paper. So I think a logical place to begin will be to look at the European level trends, although, of course, there's much more granular data to come on individual lanes as well. But it's clear from the overall trend there that we see through the quarters back to 2017 that we have seen a bit of an uptick over that period. But we are down slightly from the peak price in Q3 2018 of 1,193 euros as an average rate, which I suppose reflects the conditions, economic conditions in Europe, really. But I don't know if you'd like to come in on that, Nick, and give a bit more color.
Sure. So our major economies in Europe have seen some pretty underwhelming performances, so to say, over the last quarter that we're looking at, especially here, but also over the last few years. The automotive market has slowed down globally, and that's had a big impact on the road freight market in Germany in particular, but also consumer demand has been quite weak across the big five European markets as well. Q3 GDP growth in Europe in those markets was just 0.3%. So that's probably a big contribution to the relative flatness and the relatively minor quarterly declines that we've seen over the course of 2019 since the peak in Q3 2018. Rates though, as Michael has said, they are still quite high. They're relatively flat in terms of movement, but they are quite high rates historically. That's due in large part to two major drivers. Firstly, capacity restrictions, which really means driver shortages across the European market, as well as some increases in the cost base for providers, and that's related to salary of those drivers and the shortage of them, but also diesel prices. So those are really the main drivers behind the trends that we see here.
Okay, that's great. Well, obviously this is made out of all the range of data we have available on the road freight market. And as I say, we're seeing the average rate. So it also makes sense to unpack some of that data and to then look at some of the more sort of specific features that we see on different lanes within the road freight market. Each lane tends to have its own curious trends and its own idiosyncrasies which are driving change in the market. Now, what we can see on this particular map is the average freight rate for Q3 based on the data on the Apply and TI data here. So we're able to look at some quite granular data. Now, this doesn't have all of the lanes that we're covering on the white paper, and certainly not all the lanes that Apply cover in their database, but examining this map gives us a bit of an idea about where the rates or how high the rates are in certain lanes, and also interesting to see a bit of divergency or discrepancy between the inbound and outbound lanes that we see here as well, and some of that variation too. Tomar, I'm not sure if you want to add a bit of information here about the scope of coverage of the data we're using in the white paper, and also behind the scenes at Apply as well.
Yes, basically the data is very interesting, because with all the data that we are collecting on a daily basis, we can see tensions on the market. We can see some fluctuation on a weekly basis, with the minimum and the maximum sometimes going up and down. And this is maybe true on one way, but on the other way of a specific lane, this is not the case. And these are all markers and information of the market balance between offer and demand. And this is exactly what we are looking for at Apply, with, of course, a European range. So what is very important for us is the transparency on the data. So we are collecting a lot of data from different partners, from our users in apply.com. And for each lane, we are giving what we call a confidence index. And that confidence index tells our user how confident we are and the amount of data that we have on specific origin destinations. For instance, from France to Germany or Germany to Italy, we have a lot of data, so this is great. From a specific country in the Eastern Union to a region in Poland that is quite where we don't have a lot of origin destination, the confidence index will be lower. And this is simply a way to reflect the fact that we have a lot of data, we are using it in the best way possible, but sometimes the user maybe have to take cautious with the rates, and we are displaying it in a clear way.
All about adding that greater level of transparency into the market, really, isn't it? Okay, so having looked at the overall sort of European scope of the coverage, it's time probably to take a dive into some of the actual rates. And we thought we'd break this down into different themes. So to start with, we'll take a look at some of the largest volume lanes in Europe and some of the developments we see there. Looking at the different trends we can see here, particularly looking at the Duisburg to Warsaw rate, we can see a bit of divergence on the inbound and outbound legs of that lane. Obviously, this is quite a dynamic lane. But I wonder if William, you'd like to come in and add some comments on how we see the Duisburg-Warsaw lane developing.
In fact, I could make a comparison with two corridors. The first one is Duisburg to Warsaw. It's a very dynamic corridor, mainly composed of palletized flows, and in both directions. So the competition is very high at this level, and that means that the Polish fleet carries out more than three quarters of the total. So that's why the prices are lower than what we see in the average Operon index. And if I compare it to the corridor between Paris and Duisburg, we can say that the flow between Ruhr and Île-de-France is it's a medium distance flow. So between this means that It is composed of many types of transport, so, such as liquid tank, portable transport of Typer. And we observe a kind of price inertia, which seems that it's only indexed on diesel alone. The competition, in fact, is less difficult on this market. Okay, so everyone, German, French, Belgium, Luxembourg, and Central Europe fleet are working on this flow. So that's why price are a bit higher than those what we observe in Europe.
Mm. Yeah, certainly very interesting really there. And it just highlights these three trends across very high volume lanes, just highlights the the differences between the markets for each of these different transport lanes and why it's so important to look at the more granular data that you can see in this white paper through the TRN applies benchmarking data as well for the road freight market. So I think if we, thanks for your comments there, William, if we move on to looking at some of the other themes we're exploring here. So particularly looking at the import and export lanes within Europe and just understanding what's driving price fluctuations and changes on those particular lanes. There's a bit of a story here Obviously about import-orientated economies from France to export-oriented ones from Germany. But again, I don't know, William, if you'd like to comment on any of these lanes and the trends you see.
Yeah, we can speak about Rotterdam or Antwerp. It's a bit the same. In fact, it's a surprise for nobody, but the flows were coming from Antwerp are mainly heavily influenced by the transport of containers. And we see clearly that France is an importing country. So whatever happens, the price are higher on the Antwerp to Paris direction, okay? So for the exchange between the port of Antwerp and the Ruhr Gebiet, the situation is a bit different, okay? It's more stable.
Hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Certainly very interesting to look at those ports. And of course, we could look at a range of other different hinterlands for various different ports in Europe using the data sets we have available. But obviously, we're looking at those high volume throughputs for those ports. Very interesting to see the relationships they bear to these sort of import and export regions in Germany and France. Okay, let's take a look then at the next trend. Now, obviously, when we set out at the start of this process for Q3, we're expecting to see some real drama on the cross-channel UK to France and UK to Germany lanes and to Spain as well. But as always with Brexit, very little seemed to happen there. But Nick, I wonder if you'd like to come in and comment on the lane.
Certainly. And with the overall trend, I think Michael's right to point out that there's maybe not as much fluctuation as we may have expected to see, and the freight rates appear to be one of the more stable elements of the Brexit process at the moment. One key thing to point out is the UK market kind of underscores some essential dynamics of the cross-channel trade, which is to say that the UK imports much more than it exports. So we see much higher inbound rates, which reflects firstly, demand on the route inwards, but also then the price competition to secure backhaul loads out of the UK. There is one spike which we can certainly correlate with Brexit processes and what's happened over time, and that's the spike in the overall rate that we see in Q3 2018. At that point in time, there were lots of reports, certainly from the UK Warehousing Association, that their members were seeing lots and lots of interest in lots and lots of requests for Brexit-related space, and they were seeing capacity across about 75% of their members' warehousing networks in the UK. Slightly before that, in Q3 2018, is where we see a spike in the average rate of the UK inbound rates, and we believe that to be related to stockpiling of stock ahead of the envisioned Brexit process in Q2 2019, which obviously didn't come to fruition. So we can certainly see fluctuations in the price in the same time frames as major Brexit processes. We can also, though, point to a general lack of dynamism in the UK economy at the same time and say that perhaps those rises and some of these fluctuations which we expect to see have been relatively muted because underlying economic demand in the UK is not particularly dynamic at this point in time.
Yeah, thank you, Nick. Very interesting. I mean, also with, I suppose, today looking to maybe getting a bit more certainty on what might happen on Brexit in the future. But I wonder, William, if you might like to comment on the difference we see in the levels of pricing between the inbound and outbound rates from the UK. And if you think that if Brexit were to happen in the next few months at the end of January, do you think rates would be affected differently between the inbound and the outbound lanes?
Honestly, I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball.
Yeah.
But I can just insist on this discrepancy between outbound and inbound flows, just to underline that some carriers they always claim that they prefer, in fact, going empty, without wasting time in less expensive. Than charging a lot in England to return to the continent, because for them it's a waste of time and a waste of money. So it's surprising, but it's like that. So maybe that's why the gap is so high.
That's an interesting insight actually into the practice there. Thank you, William. Okay, well, the next lane that we're looking at here, obviously in the white paper we'll be changing some of the lanes that we cover, but one thing we'd like to do each quarter is to look at a particularly dynamic or interesting lane that has shown particular volatility or has some very interesting trends on it. And the trend we've selected to watch this quarter is Rotterdam to Warsaw. Nick, I don't know if you'd like to explain why that's been selected.
In terms of the rate of change quarter on quarter, this is one of the most volatile rates that we have across the lanes which we're tracking in this part of the report. There are reasons on both ends of this lane for some of that volatility. In Poland, the economy has held up rather well, whilst in Western Europe and in the Big Five we've got some pretty weak and pretty underwhelming economic growth. That's not so true of some of the Central and Eastern European economies, and Poland is a great example of that. Consumer demand has stayed quite high, growth in the economy has held up, and it's not seen that slowdown elsewhere. So there's still demand for products coming into inroad freight into Warsaw, both to support some manufacturing activity as well as support some consumer demand. On the Dutch side, we've seen increases into tolls, and it's very possible that we're seeing some operators pass those on to their shippers, wherever they may be on the trade. Rates in quarter three are 10% higher than they were at the start of the year. We can see that on the chart on the top left. There's no other lane which we're covering in this report where we see such volatility. And it looks like the drivers of that are sustainable going forwards. So there may be more price increase, there may be certainly sustained rates at this level, but it's certainly one to watch the development of.
Brilliant. Thanks, Nick. William, do you have anything you'd like to add on that trend?
Well, I think that this corridor is a bit special, a bit particular, because it enters in competition between the road itself and also the Ro-Ro, you know, because when you go from Warsaw, you can go through Gdynia or Gdansk and go by Ro-Ro to Amsterdam and to Rotterdam. So this line is a bit complicated due to this competition, I think.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely, and again, that just highlights the need to look at this level of granular data when you're trying to understand road freights and benchmark your own road freight rates as well. All right. Well, I'm glad we've been able to cover some of those sort of key trends in the European market, but it's probably worth us explaining a bit more about the methodology of the data that. To put these charts together and the data that's collected by Apply and how it's been used by TI in the analysis for this particular report and on our databases and white papers and so on. Tomas, I don't know whether you'd like to give a bit more information about the kind of data you're collecting and on the coverage and the frequency of the data that's being used in this particular report.
Yes, of course. So the data that we are collecting at Apply on the, I will talk about the data on the specific road transportation in Europe, but we are collecting data for many kind of transport and modes. So here we are mainly talking about, real prices where you have someone who frets a demand from origin destination, and that the carrier say, okay, this is the price. The shipper say, okay, this is the price. And we are collecting this data from many partners with who we have a specific connection, and we are collecting data on a daily basis. And then we have the data that we are collecting from our users on apply.com. And basically all this data, this is about more than 80 million of data that we are collecting, and that we put it in huge machine algorithms that we have built at Apply. For a simple reason, it's to have a simple way for the user to type, okay, I'm going from Paris to Rotterdam. My price today is 1,000 because I have this specific shipments, this specific goods, or I need this specific truck. And to say, okay, the volatility, the price dispersion on this specific road in the last week is this one. And then to have a view on the two past years, and to have a forecasting view and a future view of the coming rates. And basically, this is from data that we collect. We have an econometrical model and machine learning model on top of that to monitor for specific fluctuations. And that's it. And this is how we are doing it.
Brilliant. Okay, thank you, Thomas. And Nick, do you want to explain how we've used that on the white paper?
Sure. So we've looked at the largest volume or the most significant trade lanes in Europe in terms of trends and what they may represent. And then we take the median rate the Apply have for that lane for each week of the year. We then average that across a quarter to try and provide the most representative rate that we can without manipulating it too much. And then TI's team of analysts with experience across the industry in Europe, road freight, into various other markets, and also working especially with vertical sectors. And we try to understand and provide insight on why the rates might be what they are and why the changes that we see quarter on quarter might occur.
Thank you. So if you'd like to read more about any of the trends that we've discussed today and get more detail, you can of course read the white paper that you'll each be sent following this webinar. But if you even want more information than that, it's also possible, of course, to contact TI and Apply for more information on trends on road freight rate development and access to more data as well. As well as accessing more information about the road freight market more generally. And on the Apply side, it's worth mentioning that they do also cover other transport modes as well, so there's plenty more data available there. And you'll find the contact details on the white paper, but we're also displaying them here as well. But that concludes the main part of the webinar today. We have received one question through from the Q&A side. From the audience there, if anyone else has any other questions, do feel free to add those to the Q&A tool on the webinar software. But the question is actually from Michael Moore, who asks, does the team recommend any distance calculator type of software or tool? He's seeking to evaluate cost per kilometre for point-to-point transactions. Well, I imagine Apply would probably say that it's best to use the data that they have on their own platform, but Thomas, do you have a view on that?
Yes, so I will answer it. There is a kind of two questions in one. The first one is at Apply, we are using the PTV software. So PTV is one of the famous in Europe. It's quite good in calculating the real distance between origin and destination regarding some type of trucks, for instance. So we are using it. I don't know if it's the best in the world, but this is the one that we have chosen. And then to evaluate the cost per kilometer, this is something typically that you can do on apply.com. You can arrive and say, today I'm paying 1.5 euro per kilometer. What is the price on the market for this specific origin destination?
Brilliant. All right. Thank you so much. And we've actually had another question as well from an anonymous attendee this time, but asking what indices do you use for the pricing? And Nick, I wonder if you'd like to answer that.
Sure. In relation to the indexes that we show in the presentation and in the white paper, we simply aggregate inbound and outbound rates per quarter across more than one lane. So for example, we've got several lanes coming into the UK and out of the UK. So we take all of the inbound lanes that we've got, average those out, and then turn them into some of the indexes that you see.
Brilliant. All right. Thank you, Nick. Well, it looks like that's all the questions for now. So I suppose all that's left to say is thanks very much for joining us this afternoon and taking time to listen to the webinar. You will all be sent a copy of the white paper immediately following the end of the webinar. We hope that you'll enjoy reading. And of course, if you have any other questions about the data or about the analysis, then please do get in touch with us. We're very happy to help. And of course, to help you with any of your further questions as well.
Nick?
Yes. You know
what I mean? Yes, I just received one question regarding, this is this one. Regarding how the confidence score is calculated, so very, very briefly, the confidence index that we have is built on three pillars. The first one is the amount of data that we are collecting on a specific corridor. The second one is the diversity of providers, if we have only one or tens or more than tens providers. And the third one is the frequency that at which we are receiving data. So do we receive data on a weekly, daily basis, weekly basis, or monthly basis? And all these three pillars give a common score that is what we call the confidence index.
Great, okay. And Tobias, who asked that question, says thank you very much. Fantastic. Okay. Well, as I say, thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it and look forward to seeing you all for another webinar soon. Okay. Right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye.